Thank you, Dan. I think team is a great word, and I want to express thanks to Denny for helping me prepare my message. And I want to see a few smiles. Can you accommodate me? This is Valentine's Day, and I'm thinking we're going to have a love fest. How's that? Anybody interested? But before I start my sermon, please allow me to introduce my Valentine, Cindy. Cindy was placed in my life by God to share a maturing love. With her, I can look in her eyes and say, I see you. And that's a big deal, isn't it? Because we don't look each other in the eyes, and we don't really understand each other. But we have to start by seeing each other. If you get a chance, Cindy's wearing a sweatshirt with our picture from when we first got married. And there's a little story in the back that you would really love. Ends with walking together hand in hand throughout the world. So as a child, I remember how much I wanted to get Valentine's cards. Everybody remember that? And now I say my wife is my everyday Valentine. And with that, I want to ask my wife a question. Would you accept this rose?
Yeah.
I knew some of you would get it. There's a television program that talks about the fortunate ladies that get a rose will continue on their romantic journey in that program. So, you know, God is good, and I used to be a very serious person, and God is making me a little bit more lighthearted and a little happier, and I want to share that. So, today's message is entitled, Without Love, There Is No Life. And the three main points that I would like to dwell on a little bit is, number one, that we are slow to fulfill God's plans for us and our relationships. But God still, number two, uses as much as we are usable. God loves us more than we could ever do for him. Our scripture verse for today comes from the Pew Bible, page 1868, and it's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Good job, guys. The screen is also available. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what they have been promised. One biblical example is in the next two verses, and it says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Has everybody agreed that having a lot of descendants is a blessing? Sometimes it may not seem like it. But I am so happy that we have some young couples that are living it out and growing the church. Okay. When we practice faith and are willing to wait on God, he will bless us and those who follow us. My mother inspired my faith and my patience by being a prayer warrior. At one point she said, I've been praying for you for 40 years. I said, thank you, and sharing her faith with everyone that she met. I have prayed for the love and respect of my children, and God enabled me to be an encouragement and a witness with my children and my grandchildren, and there's so many of them. And yes, believe it or not, I even have 5 great-grandchildren. So it's not just that one end of the spectrum, we go on the other one, right? When we look at St. Valentine and how The attributes of this special day have turned into a romantic holiday. Maybe many of us don't have a clear understanding of love. And when we look at something thinking it's love, maybe it's not that at all. I want to share with you a story that will help us see that what we are looking at may not be what it seems at first. A very old man was lying in his bed at death's doorway. He suddenly smelled the aroma of his favorite chocolate chip cookies wafting up the stairs. He gathered his remaining strength and lifted himself from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bedroom, and even with greater force, he forced himself to the stairs. Gripping both railings with his hands, he was breathing heavy and then got himself to the doorway of the kitchen. And he looked in there, and were it not for death's agony, he would have thought himself already in heaven. There, spread out on the kitchen table, were literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was it heaven? Or was it one final act of heroic love by his devoted wife, seeing to it that he left this world with a happy smile? Mustering one great final effort, he threw himself towards the table, his aged hands reaching out as they were shaking to get that closest cookie, when suddenly he was smacked by a spatula by his wife. And she said, "Stay out of those. They're for the funeral." So sometimes we look at what we think is love, and things are not always what they seem. Maybe the cookies were love, but... Now, there is nothing wrong with romantic love. In real, romantic love is, it's a gift from God. But as we often say in the church, it comes down to definitions. Real romantic love is not just an emotion. It's not all about the cards and the candy and about the images, the Hallmark Channel love stories, and so much else that we've been told all of our lives. Romantic love, the Bible tells us, is much more rooted in strong spiritual foundations. Go with me to the Bible and let's look at the Word of God on this topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. You can locate that in the Pew Bible, page 1787. Oftentimes, as couples are being united, they are told, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." This kind of spiritual love has at its core not only giving, but forgiving. Giving generously to one's partner means recognizing when the other person has needs and needs our attention and responding. It means freely sharing the most precious thing that we have, our time. Think about this. Our material wealth in this life will come and go, but time can't be put in a bank, can't be invested in the market, and if we could think to be smart or lucky, unfortunately, it will not grow. Time is very different. The Bible tells us that God has given each person a specific amount of time on this earth, and there is nothing we can do to increase it. In other words, time will be spent. The only choice that we have is how we will spend it and with who. Once we've made our decision, there is no do-overs. We get one chance to do it and to do it right. So realize when someone gives you their time, they are sharing something very special and very limited that once spent can never be spent again. So real love is about time. Real love is about the sharing of our skills and resources with others. Our skills and resources are a little different from sharing our time. An example of this is when we hear people sometimes talk about having a commitment to the principle of tithing. Time after time, we hear these people say that when they started tithing, they never ran short. You'll hear them say, when we made a commitment to give, the amazing thing was that we can't outgive God. We always were provided for. In many ways, when we share our skills and resources with those we love, God blesses that, and we never seem to run short. God recognizes our generosity and is pleased, as we will see in this short video.
A few weeks ago, Steve Hartman introduced us to a young boy who found a $20 bill, converted it to a currency called kindness, and invested it with a stranger. Well, that investment has had quite a return. Here's Steve on the road.
9-year-old Miles Eckert may be America's most reluctant celebrity. It was never his intention to be honored at civic events or posed for pictures. But for the last month, this has been his world.
Thank you so much.
Things are not so normal right now. We're on the ride of our lives.
Tiffany is Miles' mom.
I mean, I've seen stuff go viral, but usually it's like a picture of a cat, not my son. It's the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
If you missed the story that started it all, Miles' adventure began here, at a Cracker Barrel in Maumee, Ohio. As the security camera shows, Miles and his family entered the restaurant on February 7th at 11:14. Miles was very excited. He just found a $20 bill in the parking lot.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Did you start thinking of what you could spend it on?
I kind of wanted to get a video game, but then I decided not to.
He changed his mind when he saw a guy in a military uniform enter the restaurant.
Because he was a soldier, and soldiers remind me of my dad.
And so, with his dad in mind, Miles wrapped the 20 in a note that read, "Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service." Signed, Miles Eckert, a Gold Star kid. Army Sergeant Andy Eckert was killed in Iraq just 5 weeks after Miles was born. All the kid has ever had are pictures and dog tags.
This is his wedding ring.
Other people's memories and his own imagination.
I imagined him as a really nice person and somebody that would be really fun.
The dad he imagines must also love a good story. Because after lunch that day, Miles asked his mom to make one more stop.
Excellent.
He wanted to go see his dad. And he wanted to go by himself that day.
She took this picture from the car. Follow the footsteps and you'll see Miles standing there behind the flag, presumably telling his dad all about it. And whether heaven heard him or not, his good deed has made a huge impression here on earth.
You've read it more than once?
I look at it every day.
Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly of the Air National Guard is the one who got the note.
Kid gave you a bigger gift than $20.
A lifetime direction, for sure.
Lieutenant Colonel Daly paid it forward by giving away the money. And that 20 has been multiplying ever since.
It's exponential. It's extraordinary. It's amazing.
After our story aired, a lot of people wanted to give Miles his $20 back.
Right.
But instead of taking any money,
ready?
The Eckerts directed those donations to Snowball Express, a charity that helps kids who've lost a parent to war. So far, donations total more than $250,000. Somebody would be very proud. Steve Hartman, on the road, near Toledo, Ohio.
Incredible. We don't know how much we impact other people when we do the generous things that God has put before us to do. And so the next thing I want to touch on is the greatest gift that we can give at a spiritual level, which is forgiveness. Love is kind and it is not irritable or resentful. Ultimately, we're all imperfect beings. The Christian message is one of divine forgiveness and reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual love between partners from the perspective of the Christian tradition is one that has repentance and forgiveness at its core. Beyond that lies the willingness to give totally of oneself to the other, even to the death. As Jesus said, no one loves greater than he who will lay down his life for a friend. It can be summarized in this way. If you're interested in giving Valentine's, do it joyfully. But don't stop with romantic love. If you have a partner, try to practice mutual love, which includes a discipline of openness and honesty, empathetic listening, personal vulnerability, and a willingness to change. I have personally experienced tremendous growth in my relationship when I decided that my relationship with Cindy was more important than being right or getting my way. I'm still reaping the benefits. Working towards a spiritual love is a love that is freely giving and forgiving. In 1 Peter 4:8, we read, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for God will cover, love will cover a multitude of sins." I keep focusing on that word fervent. And I don't know what it means to everybody else, but to me it means like passionate, you know? And it can't be just a word. Next, I want to share 5 points from the passage that is very well known from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And if you want to look at it in your pew Bible, it's in page 1786. So the first point is, without love, all that I say is ineffective. I love you means that I accept you for the person that you are and that I do not want to change you into someone else. It means that I do not expect perfection from you, just as you do not expect it from me. Number two, without love, all that I know is incomplete. It means that I will love you and stand by you even through the worst of times. It means loving you when you're in a bad mood or to do things that I want to do. It means loving you when you're down, not just when you're fun to be with. Everybody sees the smiles on Cindy, right? And all the joy. It's not always like that. She's got me again. Number three, without love, all I believe is insufficient. It means thinking of you, dreaming of you, wanting and needing you constantly, and hoping that you feel the same about me. Number four, without love, all I give is insignificant. I love you means that I know your deepest secrets and do not judge you for them, asking in return only that you do not judge me for mine. If you are generally critical of me, I might tend to be defensive with you. So we have to be very kind. Please. Number five, the last point on that passage. Without love, all that I accomplish is inadequate. It means that I care enough to fight for what we have and that I love enough not to let go. That is so profound to me, promising to someone that you will never let go. On Valentine's Day, everyone may be talking about love, but do most people really understand how important real love is to marriage, to a relationship, to the home, to the Christian life, and even to the church? Paul writes to the Corinthian church and pretty much says that we, without love, we are nothing. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now abide faith, hope, love, These three, but the greatest of these is love. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Powerful stuff. Valentine's Day is a secular holiday and yet an opportunity for Christians to focus on what love is all about. We must remember that to live without love is not to live at all. We have seen what the Bible says is the indispensable quality for every Christian, and if we are to be pleasing to the Lord. If we celebrate Valentine's Day, we're going to be having a love feast, an agape feast, which means these are the feasts that celebrate the love that Jesus has for us and the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and that we have for one another. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we read, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Similarly, Ecclesiastes 3:8 says, there is a time for love and a time for peace. And we come back to the definitions in the Bible and get a clear definition of what it is. We've learned today that real love is about time. It's not about being me-centered, but focusing on others. It is being willing to give, but most of all, to forgive. Remember that although we are slow to fulfill God's plans for us and our relationships, God still uses us as much as we are usable. God loves us, and he loves us more than we can ever do for him. He demonstrated his love through the incarnation and reconciliation achieved in the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ. Let's invite the praise team back up. And will you pray with me? Dear Lord, sometimes we overlook the significance of seemingly insignificant things, Lord, but help us not to do that with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and our family members, those that we love, and remember to spread the gospel news, Lord, that love, and to continue, Lord, and particularly in our church, to have a love for all people groups. Additionally, we can be where the hurting and wounded people are accepted and find healing through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his love as we pass it forward. God's word makes it clear that he will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. He delights in those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Amen.